Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Kessel went off his stick. He goes into the corner after it, though. Stops. Comes out in front. He's still with it. Scores! Scores! Phil Kessel wins it in overtime! Holy mackerel, what a finish!
Great call by Joe Bowen, and why not? 34 seconds into overtime, the Toronto Maple Leafs have their first home victory of the season. Phil Kessel getting the overtime goal in exciting fashion, an exciting game. Gord Stelick, Mark Osborne welcoming you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. Well, we'll hear from a very happy Leaf dressing room in a few minutes' time, head coach Randy Carlisle. We, of course, always welcome your phone calls as well at 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. But, Mark, I always say this is like we're walking to the subway, okay? And last two times, not too happy. Sunday, the Ranger fans weren't too happy going to the Penn Station there. But, boy, this would be a buzz leaving a game tonight.
No, it certainly would be, Gord. I mean, a nice way to end the game with Phil Kessel. Much maligned the first couple of games of the season. Go back to Saturday night when, he was bleeped out a little bit in his post-game interview and says, we will be better. Our line has not been very good. And what do they respond with? 7 points in New York. Tonight, the line combines for 5 points with JVR with a goal, Kessel a goal and assist, and Bozak has two assists. And so I think after that first period, Gord, the Leafs really, I thought, were the better team. They pushed the puck. Even though they're down one after two periods, outshot the Colorado Avalanche 32-12 over the course of the last two periods. When's the last time the Maple Leafs outshot an opponent by that wide of a margin?
Well, what about the bevy of hits it? Well, but yeah. All of a sudden, Leo Komarov, one of them. Give Dion Phaneuf credit for knocking Jerome McGinley once. I mean, it was Jim Ralph just leaving here along with Joe Bowen, but he said, he goes, you know what? This may have been as exciting or more exciting than 41 home games last year. You are hard-pressed to remember. I remember last year Colorado came in, beat the Leafs 2-1 around this time of the year. Kind of wowed us all. Still, Matt Duchene, there's a lot of talent on that team. But, boy, this was one, compared to this Leaf team that played Saturday, a full 180.
Yeah, you know what? And it was part of that playing with a bit of an edge. You know, we talked about a couple of things that I'd like to see this team play more of and do more of. And, it was Dion who, stood up on Jerome McGinley. It was Komarov nailing Tyson Barrie. It was Stefan Robidoux doing the same thing. And then a sense of urgency with, let's keep it simple against a good skating club. Let's get the puck in and force their D to perhaps turn the puck over. Well, what happened, lo and behold, on the tying goal by Joffrey Leupel? They forced Brad Stewart right away. He turns the puck over. Lo and behold, it's a tie hockey game, and you never know what can happen in overtime. Phil Kessel, just an outstanding second effort, which seemed as though he lost the puck there, but what a wonderful one-on-one battle to take that puck to the net and put it behind the five-hole of Varlamov.
I am still, I am bewildered looking at those shots on goal. 40-24 for the Leafs. I mean, that is to hold another team to 24 shots on goal. So we'll have a whole lot of things. Another impressive game by Stuart Percy. We'll talk about James Reimer's play, even though it's just 24 shots. Again, we'll welcome your phone calls, 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. And, of course, in a few minutes' time, Mark Osborne will keep us up to date on a very active out-of-town scoreboard, 8 other games that are going on. Let's check in with Mike in Etobicoke. Mike, welcome to Leafs Nation postgame. Mike, you there? Okay, we'll try. Give us a call. Get back to the front. 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Our Leafs Nation postgame phone numbers. Again, a 3-2 win in overtime over the Colorado Avalanche. And we'll get some stats about minutes and everything else that's played. But as I said, Ozzie, there's a whole lot of positives as we still walk to the subway and enter a crowded Union Station, simulating and chatting about the game.
Well, you know what? There's no question about that, Gordon. I know the Avs played yesterday afternoon in Boston. And you know what? the way that these guys are all conditioned, you know, back-to-back games should not affect them. But lo and behold, as we looked at the ice times after two periods of play, Randy elected to go with basically three lines. That fourth line with Holland and Kozin didn't get very much time, put Panic on that as the fourth line winger as well. And you know what? They just kept driving and driving and driving. Those three forward lines really pushed the pace, and that was a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah, no, I know. And sitting beside you is so enlightening as well, as you wonder why Brandon Kozin was out there killing a penalty. And then he drew a penalty. So, Karnak, you're not. I'm calling you Karnot right now as far as it
okay,
goes.
Yeah, that's fine.
But you're going to come around. Hey, calling in at 8700. Do we have Leo? Still there. We're getting some guys and losing them. So we'll try to get them back. Is Leo from Waterloo still there? Okay. 870-590, *590 on your cell phone network. 1-888-666-0590. Our Leafs Nation postgame numbers. Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne with you here on the postgame show. And also we'll be prepared because they always surprise us with a couple of guys at the podium. And we cut down after one game, and they both spoke French, and the Montreal game and Montreal-Toronto game, and we'll see what they put up there at some point. But a way different atmosphere to get the W at home.
It certainly was. You know, you're down 2-1 after two periods. And if you remember the way the Leafs started that third period, Robida, an ill-advised turnover, Duchesne one-on-one with James Reimer. And I think the biggest thing that I've noticed in James Reimer's, you know, play thus far in the early going, a lot more composed in the net. You know how big goaltenders can somehow get in the habit of being too busy with their feet. He just waited Duchesne out. Duchesne ended up shooting it wide. But again, another stellar performance by James Reimer. And you got to think, come Friday night, my question to you is, are you going back with Bernier or continuing the hot hand with James Reimer? Because the team has played very, very well in front of him. And he's, in my estimation, he's done what Bernier did for this team last year. They seem to be very comfortable in front of James Reimer.
Well, yeah, I think the easy part is they'll probably split those games against Detroit, and we'll chat about a few other things. Let's see, Vance in Toronto. Vance, welcome to Leafs Nation postgame.
Hey, thanks for having me.
No problem. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yeah, my question is, you know, with the amazing play of Stuart Percy, you know, and limited room on the lineup, on the roster, do you foresee Jake Gardner returning to the lineup?
Well, we'll chat about that. Jake Gardner involved in trade rumors that are being kicked around as well, as everybody will talk about those things heading to the trade deadline, which is still several months away. I think, to me, would you put Jake Gardner back in the next half? I wouldn't put him instead of Percy. I would look at Robida or Pollock as one of the guys. I mean, I'd like to get him back in. Do you keep with the hot hand and not tinker with it?
Yeah, you know what? If there's anyone that's, you know, stood out to me, maybe that looked as though he had struggled a little bit. I mean, I think there are times with the two newcomers in Robida and Roman Pollock who both at times throughout this hockey game tonight looked a little bit out of place, a little bit out of sorts. But again, you know, the way sometimes a coaching staff does think is they say, why change it when you've got a winning combination there? Interesting enough that the defensive pairings were changed around after the game, you know, the other night, where you had Franson playing with Phaneuf, and then you had, you know, Robida paired up with Morgan Rielly. Pollock and Percy remained intact. But out of that entire group, the most impressive D and the most consistent D has been their youngest defenseman. You know, not in terms of age, because Morgan Rielly still is the youngest, but Stuart Percy has been, you know, wait till we get the final stats as far as ice time goes, but another fine, fine performance. Calm and steady at all areas of the ice, and just love the way this kid has developed.
But wait, Oz, he didn't pick up a point tonight.
Yeah there goes his streak,
so
right?
Reliable. Anyway, yeah, we'll get the minutes, but I still... Again, I think you overthink it, and I'm doing that. I'm big on Jake Gardner. I'm big on Jake Gardner. I don't want to see him up healthy scratch too long a period of time, but I do understand, hey, when Matt Sundin got hurt in the playoffs years ago, remember he came back against Carolina, and people were going, why are you putting Matt Sundin back in the lineup? Well, it's Matt Sundin.
Right.
But, you know, that's the way it goes when the team is working with whatever lineup's in place. Let's go. What's going next? So we got Rick and Scarborough next. Is that up next? We got a few callers here. Let's go to Rick in Scarborough. Rick, you're on Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne.
How you doing?
Good.
Great game tonight by the Leafs. Their defense is playing a lot better this year, and they played a great game in New York there Sunday night. They lost a bad one to Montreal. Pittsburgh, well, Crosby, Malcolm, and Letang scored. Two top players in the league. And tonight, they stuck with it. Lupo got the goal in the third period to bring it back. And great play by Kessel going into the corner and bringing it out and scoring. So I've been a Leaf fan since the 60s, and I'm still with them.
Well, that's great. Doing a little Joe Bowen there, commenting on all the games. We appreciate that, Rick. By the way, the Rangers losing another game, giving up six goals on home ice again. It's the first time they've given up six goals in back-to-back home games, the New York Rangers have, since back in 1990. I will say, and you really picked up on that about Kessel's comments Saturday, just about we'll do better, an affirmative, very positive statement. And then in overtime tonight, when the pass was to him and he didn't quite get it, you go, right. Damn, he had it. He was open. Then he gets it and does the, like you say, it is a highlight reel play. That's Phil Kessel at his best.
Yeah, you know what? And how many times do we see a second effort out of Phil Kessel after he does not, get the pass? So, again, just one of those, little nuances of a game that could be the difference maker. And, good on Phil Kessel. I don't know if he knew that. They've got a day off tomorrow, so that may have been extra incentive. I know for the guys, when I played with any of those little things that you kind of laugh about and talk about, whatever it takes to find the back of the net, Phil Kessel certainly did.
So a scheduled day off tomorrow.
Scheduled day off tomorrow.
With the new CBA, they've got scheduled days, so the coach can't go in and change his mind like John Brophy and others would, whatever, after a game, basically that thing. Tyler in Cambridge. Tyler, welcome to Leafs Nation postgame.
Hi, guys. Good to be back. I just would like to touch on David Clarkson. He got a lot of criticism after last year, and rightfully so. He didn't have a great year. It was a tough transition for him. But you want to talk about a guy who's come in on a mission? Him, Komarov, and Santorelli. Not so much Santorelli. I think you could interchange him with Holland or any centerman for that matter. And just Komarov and Clarkson, those two guys crashing and banging. They didn't get rewarded tonight, but boy, they sure deserved it. That is the type of forecheck, and that is the type of cycle that I think that Randy Carlyle has hoped that his Leafs could be at one time. And I'm cautiously optimistic here that I'm seeing something out of those guys in a third line role where they can really contribute and really bring something to the table. And even if the fourth line doesn't play that much tonight, big deal. You got Brandon Kozin so fresh on a penalty kill that his wheels are able to draw that penalty late in the third. So I think everything's just going in the right direction. People just needed to chill out a little bit after the slow start. We're going in the right direction here, Leaf fans. Go Leafs, go. And have a good night.
Yeah, thanks. Leaf Nation is for all people, whether they're chilled or whether they're on the ledge. We deal with all types. But, David, shows like we do, Ozzy, there will be a common... Actually, if you're having success, there isn't a common theme. A few years ago was Dion Phaneuf, and then fans came around. Last year was David Clarkson being a common... And as the caller said, rightfully so, these four games, that's the guy they signed, okay? That's the guy, that's the play I understood when they gave him that kind of contract. 4 for 4, played just under 16 minutes in very positive performances.
You know what, and here's the thing that I think they came away out of last season and probably said to David Clarkson, here's what we need to slot you in. Here's what your role and your job is going to be on this hockey club. There's no question, nobody's going to question David Clarkson's heart or his willingness or any of that kind of stuff, but put him in a position or a situation where he can thrive. Having played with Leo Komarov and Mike Santorelli right now, it looks like a legitimate one of those lines that it's just going to go out there and give you a put on your hard hat, put on your work boots, and just work hard. Get to the front of the net. Komarov is a guy that if you're a defenseman, you know he's on the ice because he's going to finish his check. And Mike Santorelli is one of those guys that he's a little hard worker. He's a little fire plug that does a lot of little things well. And it's nice for David Clarkson to, get back to playing his game. This is David Clarkson, the way he's capable of playing. And, whether he gets, beyond, 15 goals per se, I mean, that would be a realistic goal, I think, for a guy who's playing on your third line.
Leafs beat the Colorado Avalanche 3-2 in a very exciting, entertaining game. Phil Kessel scoring in overtime. We'll come back. We'll take some more of your calls. We'll also hear from Toronto Maple Leaf head coach Randy Carlyle and some of the players. A fun night to do post-game show here at Air Canada Centre. Why don't we just go, let's do that before the break. Let's go head down there. And got Joffrey Leupel and Stuart Percy. How about that? They bring a couple of guys out to meet the media. So we'll just head down there. Here are two of the star players Boy, Stuart Percy looks a little, he's not used to this. He better get used to this, the way he's playing. Here we go.
We sort of got the crowd going, and then you tied it up. We talked about a couple of minutes of the play.
Do I have to talk in this? Is that all right. The building, to be honest, hasn't had a ton of energy, especially positive energy anyway, the first couple games. So we came at them in waves during the third period and had a couple big checks. Leo started with a big one behind the net, and then a couple other guys followed and got some energy into the building, and then we really fed off that.
What kind of effect has winning had for you and us?
He's had a good effect on the whole team. I mean, he's playing big minutes on our penalty kill. He's a veteran that knows what to do in the big situation or any situation, really. So he's been forechecking hard and creating some chances for us. He gave me a really good pass in the third period that I missed later in the game, but he's been certainly a welcome addition.
Now, as a four-game NHL veteran, have you drawn any conclusions yet playing defense in this league?
Not too much. I think I'm just trying to stay strong out there, and I feel pretty comfortable out there with Polak. I think we work well together, and just strong positionally and try and keep it out of our zone as much as we can.
Are you feeling like you should start kind of pushing the limits a little bit, or are you still feeling your way out?
I'm still feeling my way up, but I feel pretty comfortable reading the situation. In certain situations, maybe I can jump in the play here or there or do something offensively, but just try to keep it safe and make sure that if I do, then I've got support behind me.
Joffrey, what works collectively when you can limit a team like that to 12 shots over the last two periods and extra time?
Well, I think it starts for us moving the puck and playing in their zone. Our speed's a big asset, so when we start coming at teams in waves, it puts a lot of pressure on them, and that's certainly what we did in the second half of the game, the third period in particular. For us, playing good defense is going to start with playing offensively with the puck, and again, we were putting the pucks into places where we could get them. We were winning races that we weren't winning in the first period, and after that, some of our skill can take over.
Sort of the experience is probably new for you, but did you get a sense from the city that the team started going to, there was great panic, and now that it's 1-2 games in a row, the panic is abated? Have you got that sense?
Maybe a bit, but it's still pretty early in the season, and we're glad we had a huge third period there and got the extra point in overtime as well. So back to .500 and look to build on it on the weekend.
Joffrey, what have you seen out of Phil in the last couple of games?
Kind of just the same. The same thing as always. He's a dynamic player. You could not notice him for a stretch of time, and then he gets the puck with speed and has the ability to change the game in a matter of seconds. And not many guys in the league have that. And you certainly saw him as the rest of our team started to pick up some speed and momentum in the third period. You could certainly see him start to separate himself.
Joffrey, what are your thoughts on how Stewart's looked the first four games?
He just looked great. He's sitting right here, so. he's played great. Certainly has a lot of poise with the puck, and makes a right play under duress, and that's tough for especially a young defenseman.
Thanks, guys.
A little bit from Joffrey Lupul and Stuart Percy. That was a good line. Lupul first wondering why they had to speak on the microphones because the media is about 2 yards away from them. But part of it is so we can pick up the feed of the press conference. We better take a break. We'll come back. Got a whole lot more to go on. The building was rocking tonight. A 3-2 overtime win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Colorado Avalanche. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne with you. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Yeah, it's a podcast, but we're still not going to let him swear. Subscribe to Tim and Sid at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. This is Leafs Nation. Nation postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne. Brought to you by your local GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today.
Let's pick up a little bit. Randy Carlyle talking to the media.
The opportunity for the next start. Now, does that change for Friday? Well, we'll see. We've got one day to breathe tomorrow, and then Thursday it's right back at it. So our preparation is going to be such that we're going to do an analysis, and we'll go with the goalie that we feel will give us the best chance for success on Friday night here.
Randy, what did you like about the Santorelli line tonight?
I thought, again, that they created some more offensive zone time. I thought Leo Komarov was a physical player out there. He was on the puck. He was skating. I thought Clarkie was a pest around the net and cycling. And, you know, I thought Santorelli, with the sum of the three of them were, you know, we played them up against McKinnon's line. And McKinnon's a pretty good hockey player, you know, and they held their own. And then when the tide turned, I thought they were, had a helping hand in creating that offensive zone time and that forecheck and grind shifts for us.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. Yeah. Well, a little bit from Toronto Maple Leaf head coach Randy Carlyle. We'll hear his entire press conference or chat with the media a little bit later on. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, welcoming you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. 3-2 overtime victory for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So many positives to talk about. But, Ozzie, as we look down, I can remember this from last year that – it's a pretty empty, cavernous Air Canada Centre we do the post-game show from, but the visiting teams, family, friends, relatives, you name it, wait for them in smattered around the golds and wherever, platinums and reds. And this is about as large a group as I've seen. And we were chatting earlier with some people from the Colorado Avalanche, and Patrick Waugh, very cognizant that they don't come east. They only come east once during the year. They're coming here, Ottawa, Montreal. You've got Duchesne. You've got Landeskog. You've got O'Reilly. I mean, you've got a ton of local kids. And that's one reason they said he didn't skate today, because he understands the media frenzy and family frenzy. That's a big group of people.
Yeah, my guess, Gord, is that's pretty well all of Halliburton. For Matt Duchesne, I'm sure he dug into his pockets deep and bought a lot of tickets. But you're right, Gord. I mean, when do we see, you know, this kind of a crowd after a game?
You're right, for Duchesne and Ryan O'Reilly. Maybe Walt McKechnie's in from Halliburton, McKech's place.
There's a good chance that Walt was here saying, I'm from there. I know him. I know the Duchesne family.
Well, he was the guy that got the goal that gave the Colorado Avalanche a lead. And the Leafs came back to win and to – let's just go over the scoring a bit for people, and then I'm going to get you to pick – or people, listeners.
Yeah.
How about that?
People.
Well, they're people, too. There could be pets listening, everybody. But James Van Riemsdyk, 9:54 of the first period, opened the scoring from Kessel and Bozak. Colorado tied it up. The other guy we're talking about, Ryan O'Reilly, local guy from Aginla and Johnson. That was the score, 1-1 after one period of play. Matt Duchesne got Colorado a 2-1 lead after two periods of play from Aginla and McGinn. And then in the third period, you know, the Leafs, that's one of those stats when you're down after two periods of play about coming back. Joffrey Leupold, his second of the year unassisted. A nice little play. Some good pressure by Winnick on that to help. Was it Johnson that coughed the puck up, Eric Johnson?
No, that was Stewart.
Stewart. Well, one or the other. Yep. Okay, it looked like. And then in overtime, 34 seconds, Phil Kessel from Bozak and Phaneuf, a highlight reel goal. And the Leafs win 3-2. And one of the more unbelievable stats as well, outshoot Colorado 40-24, especially in the final two periods and overtime where they outshoot them, 32-12.
Yeah, 16-7 in that second period and 15-5 in the third period. So as Joffrey Leupold did mention in his postgame presser, Gord, that they felt the momentum of the crowd, and perhaps it was Leo Komarov's hit behind the net, but you don't feel it very often here, and yet this is one of those nights where the crowd, I think, really did inspire the Maple Leafs.
We're talking about the guest season opener against the Montreal Canadiens, and just there's an energy and buzz around the city, but it's not often replicated here at Air Canada Centre, and you can talk about whether it's the corporate seats, the money people, whatever it may be, Toronto crowds in general, who knows what it may be.
I'll tell you what it is.
What is it?
It's playing with a bit of edge. It's playing with that, you know, blue-collar mentality here, and go back to the times when you had the Darcy Tuckers, the Gary Roberts, the Wendell Clarks, the Dougie Gilmores. You know, the building loved that type of effort and that kind of style of play. Yeah, you need some skill and all that kind of stuff, but you know what? This is all about blue collar, and those are the guys that bring it.
Well, I have to pick a player of the game. In this one, there's a lot of guys to choose from. The player of the game is brought to you by Tip Top Tailors. It's all about style. Tip Top Tailors, your menswear shop.
Well, did you want to pick it, Gordon?
No,
or are you going to leave
it
up to me? This is me all the time. Eh? All 82, you want me to pick
it? It's like that song, I'm leaving it all up to you.
Well,
I know that's an oldie.
Well, why not? Back-to-back nights of Phil Kessel. He started the play on the first goal of the hockey game with Van Riemsdyk, a nice exchange. And how can you argue with the effort on the game-winning goal? Where, you know, Phil Kessel, for me, ends up being the player of the game two nights in a row.
Well, I like it. And again, I go back Saturday. You picked up about Kessel's post-game press conference and talking about we'll do better tomorrow. And he doesn't really want to or pretend he's a leader as far as we're in the sea, but he certainly acted like it on the ice.
Okay, do you remember the highlight reel move in the third period where he came in on the Colorado defender and, you know, took his strap is hanging in the rafters
over
here.
Yeah, well, you can say jock strap. Yeah. Take him out of his jock strap. There's nothing wrong with that.
And Varlamov made a great save. So, you know, there's three great plays that Phil Kessel made tonight. And, you know, while he wasn't, around the net a lot, and yet when key opportunities presented itself, Phil Kessel delivered.
Chris Johnston, our buddy from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, joining us as always. And, Chris, we chatted a bit before the game, and certainly just what the doctor ordered Sunday to get that first W in New York. And tonight, Jim Ralph was saying hard-pressed to find a game that was any better on home ice last year in the regular season. What do you think? We got Chris there?
Yeah, but all I can hear is Joffrey Lupul talking.
Oh, Joffrey Lupul talking. Okay. You can just hear Joffrey Lupul talking. So hold on. I will ask the question again. Can you hear me now, Chris?
Yeah, I got you now, guys.
Do you have Joffrey still?
No, Joffrey has left the building, I think.
Okay. He was very articulate and witty. I was just saying, we chatted before the game, and just about, just compared to after game two, how things have turned around, and the building rocking tonight. Jim Ralph said this was as good as any home game we saw last year at Air Canada Centre. What did you think?
Well, it certainly was from the Leafs' perspective. I mean, there's only three games all last season where they won the game and held their opponents to fewer than 30 shots. And lo and behold, here tonight, the Avs had just 24. And I think the Leafs, really, against a team that they're pretty well built to do that sort of thing against, the Avalanche have a lot of the same qualities as Toronto in terms of trading chances at times and not being as solid defensively as the coach would certainly like. And I thought the Leafs took advantage of that, specifically the last two periods.
Chris, Joffrey Lupul mentioned in his post-game presser how much the crowd kind of lifted up the team in the third period. A nice hit by Komarov in that third line of Santarelli and Clarkson, really providing, the top two lines a little bit of grit and that grind type of game, which I feel is very necessary. I think you like their style of play as well this evening.
Sorry, is that the top two lines? I had some baseball getting piped in now.
Yeah, I was talking about the third line. Joffrey Lupul talking about, the energy that the crowd seemed to give the team in the third period, and that all started with a Komarov hit behind the net.
Yeah, it's funny. They seem to have hit on something with this group. I don't think that was one of the ones. Certainly we didn't see it a lot in training camp, but Santarelli, Komarov, and Clarkson, seem to have something going right now. And, very competent third line, I think, in the NHL. And they're not going to provide you tons of offense, but the energy is there. And I think at times that was something the Leafs missed, especially a year ago. And Randy Carlyle, you can see him getting, confident with that group, putting him out there for regular shift and making a difference in the game. And if they can keep that going, it's something good with the second line. If you can get the top line going, you start to see maybe some of the things the Leafs were excited about, that they might have a little bit more depth and an ability at forward to compete with teams, going line by line.
Well, hopefully you don't get NFL football piped in right now.
That's going to be next, guys.
Before the game, you were saying it's funny, after two games, already some storylines from last year about a goaltending, I'm not going to call it a controversy, but yeah, questions, and then Jake Gardner's situation. I don't want to stir the pot after a win, but I'm curious, Randy was kind of coy on both matters. What do you think they do on Friday in both cases?
Well, the Reimer one's kind of interesting to me because, I was one of the people that believed, despite how good Jonathan Bernier was last year in keeping the Leafs afloat, when they had some clear defensive, you know, issues. You know, I did think that the job was still going to be open, that if James Reimer could come in and outplay Jonathan Bernier, that he'd be given a chance to get his fair share of starts here. And, you know, based on four games and the way things have played, it does seem that's going to happen. Although when I asked Carlisle about it after the game tonight, he sort of hinted to me. I mean, clearly with Friday, Saturday, home and home with Detroit looming, I would expect you'd see one of each guy in those games. But I wouldn't be totally surprised if Bernier got the start Friday. I don't think we're in a true sort of win and you're in type of situation as in the past. And, you know, as for Jake Gardner, yeah, I don't have a lot to add in terms of news or any hints at what might happen. But, you know, it's kind of a strange situation. You know, to me, sitting this guy at age 24, you know, someone you've signed to a five-year deal, a player I didn't think had played poorly myself personally in the two games that he played, you know, is a little bit puzzling. You know, I think a lot of it is clearly because Stuart Percy has forced their hand by playing so well and isn't someone they want to take out of the lineup. And, you know, I think the other sort of obvious candidate would have been Stefan Robida. And, you know, for a player in his case coming back from a second broken leg last year and being a veteran and a player that they gave an alternate captain designation to, I think that they want to try to be patient with him and let him get more comfortable. But, you know, I don't think you want to let Jake Gardner sit too long. I mean, I still see him as a core member of this team, you know, too valuable of a player to have watching games from the press box. And you know, even though they've won two in a row, if it was up to me, I would be finding a spot for him back in the lineup on Friday night against the Red Wings.
Okay, and Chris, I'm hesitant to get going half-cocked with trade rumors because it's going to go on till the trade deadline, but the buzz was stirred up because of a rumor about Eric Staal coming from Carolina for, say, Nazem Kadri and Jake Gardner. I don't know what you think of that particular rumor, and also Eric Staal with $8.25 million this year and next year at 30 years of age would be a kind of guy that the Leafs should go hard at.
Well, I'm not surprised to hear that conversation happened, and that wasn't my own information in that case. But you know, Eric Staal is a player I do expect, but we're not going to hear the end of rumors about this season. You know, even though his brother Jordan went and signed there on a long-term deal, you know, I think that where the Hurricanes are at and where they're headed, they're going to have to at least seriously consider, you know, dealing this guy. And, you know, when you're the Leafs and you've spent all these years, I mean, really since Matt Sundin retired, this team hasn't had what you would consider a bona fide number one center, you know, someone that you definitely slot into that role and are confident in labeling him as such. You know, I think that the appeal of getting an Eric Staal or, you know, even a Joe Thornton or someone of that, you know, nature, I can understand where it would be. But, you know, I also think that this is a Leafs management group that's wants to be patient. And, you know, if they were ever to pull off that deal, it would be a bit of an about face from what we've heard their plan is. And you know, that's ultimately why I believe it isn't likely to happen, because to trade two of the core young pieces of the team for, as you mentioned, a 30-year-old player, you know, with an $8.25 million cap hit, you know, would be a change in direction. And, you know, it's not one that I think makes a whole lot of sense right now, to be honest.
Chris, Phil Kessel, a goal and an assist, a great effort on the game-winning goal in overtime. I'm more curious out of what his post-game scrum was all about. Any interesting sound bites, or what are you making of Phil Kessel these days after some pretty good performances back-to-back nights in New York and here tonight again?
Well, he did sort of wryly note that he felt that the city had reached a point of panic after the 0-2 start, that you know, he said that should be calmed down by now. I think he was worried about everyone. He was pretty aware of what was being said, I guess, after those losses to Montreal and Pittsburgh to start the year. But with Phil, you know, he had kind of a funny game, I thought. We saw in the one power play there, he wasn't happy with the way he was brought down, and he looked almost kind of injured or certainly not great. His body language wasn't that great on the bench, but, you know, still, you know, he's a dominant player on the ice. He made that play happen in overtime, and, you know, really, it's what I think. I mean, of him, I think that's just a total Phil moment the whole game in a lot of ways. And you know, I was one of the ones, I didn't think that the concern about him going two games without scoring was warranted. I really do think he's been such a reliable contributor for the team. He'll continue to be that. And you saw here tonight, he was a very dangerous guy. He had shots on net and scored the biggest goal of the game. So, you know, it's exactly what he's paid $8 million a year to do.
Well, if you run into him again, you can tell him Ozzie picked him as the tip-top Taylor player of the game, so that would just be the cherry on the sundae for tonight.
It would. Does he get a trophy for that or a new suit or something? Or?
No, just the – no, after Joffrey, Leupold, come on. You got whatever. Well, Phil – actually, Phil could use a new suit. Phil's attire is kind of frat boyish, a lot of things. Look very comfortable. So, anyway, he gets the honor that way. So, if you pass that along, if you see him. Chris, thanks as always. We'll catch you next game, okay?
Yep, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Chris Johnson from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. Phil isn't the GQ-ish like, say, Joffrey Leupold is.
No, he certainly is not. And I played a guy similar to Phil Kessel by the name of Mark Pavlich, okay? He's a Minnesota boy as well. And, you know, I don't think those guys really care about it. You know, too much of what their wardrobe is or what their appearance is like. They're just...
It's
you know,
cold
different.
There.
Yeah, it's different.
Well, we better take a break. We'll come back. A big night. The building was rocking, and now some of the Avalanche family and friends are leaving a little disappointed. This year they did pick up a point on the road, which you do like to do, but it was a 3-2 overtime win on a goal by the aforementioned Phil Kessel. Leafs 3, Colorado 2. We'll come back with more of Leafs Nation postgame. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick. Mark Osborne, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Now, prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
And into the half boards for Kessel. Back it comes to Cody France, and a shot. There's a rebound. No, there isn't. Smothered by Varlamov.
Well, there you go. Cody Franson's shot. Leafs had 40 shots, out shooting the Colorado Avalanche 40-24. They win 3-2 in overtime. Welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne with you. Ozzy, just a we'll do a quick hit here with the out-of-town scores and then come back and wrap up the network hour. Out-of-town scoreboard brought to you by Berganas Pereira, Ontario's most referred personal injury law firm. Visit us at bplawyers.ca. This is becoming a big highlight of the show with you reading the out-of-town scores, and you've got 8 today, Ozzy.
Well, I need a little direction, Gord. Am I giving the scores as well based on the limited time that we have, or am I just giving you the final scores?
Just, you know, if you pick a highlight, but just the scores. We'll do an expanded version next hour, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Gord.
You're welcome, Mark.
The Islanders visit the New York Rangers and win 6-3. That's back-to-back nights.
Pick it up.
That the Rangers give up 6 goals, but of note, Ricky Nash gets his 5th and 6th goals for the New York Rangers leads the NHL in goals scored. Anaheim defeats Philadelphia 4-3 in a shootout. I won't tell you the goal scores because you told me not to.
Next hour.
San Jose wins in a shootout in Washington 6-5. And Dallas defeats Columbus 4-2 in Columbus. Tyler Seguin with the natural hat trick. He 1-2-3 on the season. Buffalo in a barn burner. This is for the Connor McDavid sweepstakes. They defeat Carolina 4-3 in a shootout.
Is that in Carolina or Buffalo?
That's in Carolina.
Wow.
That's they're playing against the Carolina Peewees. That's Teddy Nolan, I think, was mentioning, right?
Yeah.
What about the New Jersey Devils in Tampa Bay? Win 2-1. Mike Camilleri gets the game winner in the third period, his 4th of the season. And those are our finals. And continuing on with the games in progress, we're in overtime in Nashville.
Smooth.
It's Calgary 2-2 in Nashville. And then Los Angeles into the first, only 6.5 minutes into the first period against the Edmonton Oilers, have a 2-0 lead on goals by Jeff Carter and Justin Williams.
Okay, we'll have more to do that next hour as well. We'll come back, set up another hour. 3-2 overtime win, the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Colorado Avalanche. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Talk about tonight's game until you're blue in the face. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now here's Van Riemsdyk in for Kessel. Kessel back to Van Riemsdyk. He scores! Holy mackerel, what a nice feed! Stuart Kessel back to his winger, and Van Riemsdyk makes it 1-0 Toronto.
Well, James Van Riemsdyk gave the Maple Leafs that 1-0 lead. They would relinquish it. They'd come back, though, tie the game up 2-2, and then Phil Kessel would score in sudden-death overtime, a 3-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Colorado Avalanche. As entertaining a game as they've played the last couple of years, and we'll talk more about the game. Mike Chambers will join us from the Denver Post. We'll get their point of view, what's going on there. But on as I welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And let's hear from he never gets jubilant, but certainly in a good mood. And why not? After the first two home games, it wasn't fun facing the media. And here, postgame, was Toronto Maple Leaf head coach Randy Carlisle.
Randy, what turned the tide in this game for you guys in the second period? From about midway through, you outshot them badly.
I think the one power play where we got a bunch of chances off it, but we didn't really get the desired result, but we still kept the puck in their zone. And the next shift that we followed up after it, we were able to create some offensive zone time, and kind of it was a wearing grind shift. And I think that was where the tide of the hockey game turned. Our power play, you know, I think tonight we internally we counted. We had 11 opportunities with the power play, 11 shots on net with it, but we didn't obviously score, and we were a little bit frustrated specifically early in the game. The puck was, when we were going tape to tape and D to D and forward to D, the puck would take one little extra bounce, hit our stick, and there was a lot of frustration early. And you have to give the Avalanche a lot of credit. They played yesterday afternoon, and they came in and they stuck to their game plan. And it, in the end, I think it was more of a question of fatigue, and everything seemed to go our way from a certain point.
Were you pleased with the defensive game, though, only to hold them to 24 shots? And...
yeah, you know, you're always going to be pleased when you only give up one, and our, you know, we give ourselves a real chance if we can, specifically against a team that you're playing back-to-back. And, you know, the late goal, the second goal, we were kind of, you know, mesmerized by the puck, and we really felt that we shouldn't have given that goal up because we were back in position. We got puck staring or puck watching, but we got it out. We found a way to get a goal late in the period, and then it seemed like the last half of the hockey game we had our skating legs, our forechecking game, and we gave them some problems bringing the puck out of their zone.
And Randy, Phil's known for his speed and for his quick release, but on the winning goal, he showed some pretty good determination fighting to get into a shooting position. Did you like that out of him tonight?
I loved it. Sorry to give you a one-word answer or two-word answer, but, you know, Phil's a special player, and if you give him enough opportunities, he can score and can hurt people in different ways. And to me, the pass that Tyler Bozak gave him, I thought he had the defenseman beat on that pass, and it kind of went off the end of his stick and rolled to the corner, and he spun away and then beat him back to the front of the net. And, you know, that's a goal scorer's goal.
Randy, when you play a tired team like that, how important is the energy and forecheck that the third line showed tonight?
Again, you know, that's imperative that you get grind going. You know, that you want to grind as much as you possibly can and get that wear down type of hockey. Defending is difficult with the new rules, with no hooking, no holding, no impeding of progress. It's really difficult. And if people get you, or you're able to get people off of your back and control the puck, it can wear you down. And, you know, we felt that's really what we have to do a better job at as a hockey club. And we've talked about it, stressed it, and by no means are we saying we're at it, where we need to be with it, but it's an aspect of our game that has to become part of our arsenal or a weapon for us.
Are you trying to take some of the pressure off of Stephen Quinn this morning?
No, we just felt that Franny had a good game in New York, and Steph, you know, the original plan wasn't to play him with Dion Phaneuf, I'll tell you that. That's not where we saw the when we acquired him and when we had talked and we'd met with him over the summer, that we'd felt that one of his partners this year and maybe both of his partners at some point are going to be either Morgan Riley or Jake Gardner. That was the master plan, but we just felt in the games that we had and the way things were going that him and Dion were a good fit, and we decide to make a change tonight, and that doesn't say that he can't play with Dion. I think there's still some some areas with Dion adjusting to playing the left side. I think it's still some things that are happening there that he'd like to smooth out.
You were, Larry, a little bit from Toronto Maple Leaf head coach Randy Carlyle. Of course, looking at some of the reactions on Twitter, everyone's excited about tonight's game. And, yeah, I want to thank David Clarkson. I think he did. We've sort
no, that
of
was
been,
a tech score. That was
I know.
A tweet. That was
oh,
a,
we've
a
sort of been tuning
his
–
not being very kind to a few of the Maple Leafs. But well, I don't pay attention to that, honestly.
Well, that's good. You got to find new friends, I think, as well. Might be part of it. But you listen to Randy Carlyle. Now, first, he talked about one thing they've done a lot, Ozzie, is change the defensive pairings quite a bit. I mean, it's certainly, say, worked or whatever. But there's been a multitude – not just Jake Gardner being a healthy scratch the last two games, but just a multitude of defensive pairings.
Yeah, you know what? And kind of surprising in some respects after you go into New York, with, the core group of guys that played together that night, and you think, okay, we'll give them a mulligan in the first couple of games of the season because, you know, you've got two new guys, well, basically three new guys with Robidoux, Polak, and Stuart Percy. Out of the group, Cody Franson out with an injury in the first few games of the season. And so, but interesting enough, game number four, you had Dion Phaneuf paired up with Cody Franson. You had Stefan Robidoux playing with Morgan Riley, and Stuart Percy was paired up with Roman Polak. Those are the two guys, Percy and Polak, that have been constants through the first, four games of the season. You know, for me, in spite of the fact that Dion Phaneuf got an assist on that game-winning goal tonight, Gord, to me, he still does not look comfortable as a left defenseman. There was, a time tonight where I liked him standing up on Jerome McGinley, but then he was challenged by Jamie McGinn, and then Jerome, and it was kind of too bad that the linesman got in there. And
so should Phaneuf have fought McGinn?
I think Dion Phaneuf, when challenged, he should fight anyone. There you go. Unless it's John Scott. No, but you know what I'm saying? Hey, this is...
Okay. Wait. Okay. Yeah.
So but hear me out. Like here's the thing. You got to kind of pick your spots. But, there's a time and a place for everything. And when your captain sometimes gets challenged, as he has over the course of time, by, some players... in the last number of years, Dion has turned him down, right?
Well, okay, so McGinn challenged him, and he was saying, no, it just was I gave him a clean hit. Then Aginla challenged him, and Dion appeared to want to go. Now,
yes.
The linesman just, okay. So you always wonder about that.
Yep.
But, I mean, shouldn't the challenge be that he goes at Jerome Aginla rather than McGinn sticking up for Aginla? Like, McGinla's the one that absorbed the hit.
Right.
And he was so at the end of the day, Leafs got an extra, got a power play.
Yeah, but you know what, Dion, pound the guy then. Just drop your gloves and pound him. I'd like to see that. Yeah, why not?
What
do you think that would show to the guys on the bench in this crowd here when he's challenged by McGinn after going after Aginla? What do you think that would do?
I think that
would be a positive
or
not?
Well, certainly the building, the energy in the building didn't dissipate.
Darn right it would be a positive.
Well,
There
were no fights tonight, but the hits, Komarov leading the charge, but including Phaneuf's there.
I'm saying one time, Gord, one time,
Was that the time, though? Was that the time?
Could have been the time.
I don't disagree in general, but, I mean, the team was energized enough, and it seemed like his hit, and that energized them. And then also, he was going to be a willing combatant, I believe, against Jerome
McGinley.
Okay,
so we'll give him a mulligan. We'll give him a mulligan in this situation.
On this particular situation.
But I want to see Dion Phaneuf accept the challenge. And
I think
he had no choice.
Yeah.
No choice tonight. He was accepting because he had no choice.
Okay. I'm cool. I'm cool with what, okay. You're taking it
hey,
hard.
Hey, I'm going to be hard on the captain, I expect more out of this captain. So, the team won tonight, some positive things. I want to still see Dion Phaneuf develop more into being the leader that he's capable of being, I think.
Well, the statement I made, which you appeared to like the other day, and I thought it was a good one about his four games to date, or a lot of it, his four games to date, was about in watching him, it's like a defensive back being able to say, I covered the receiver well,
yep.
But then the receiver caught the ball. And, and that's always a bit of a hard one to gauge that way about which way it should go. But we're going to come back. We're going to get the Denver point of view when we come back. We'll pick up more on Phaneuf and that. Well, we'll hear later on from Percy and Lupul. We can grab that later. Okay, we'll hear from that Joffrey Lupul and Stuart Percy as well. But when we come back, we'll check in from a very exciting Colorado Avalanche team. Very exciting game tonight, despite Dion Phaneuf not fighting. But the hit, the Toronto Maple Leafs, 3-2 winners in overtime over the Colorado Avalanche. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. The game is the meal. We're the after-dinner drinks. Pour yourself a cold one. Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Kessel of an office stick. He goes into the corner after it, though. Stops. Comes out in front. He's still with it. Scores! Scores! Phil Kessel wins it in overtime. Holy mackerel, what a finish.
Joe Bowen with the call, Phil Kessel, the overtime goal, the Toronto Maple Leafs 3-2 winners over the Colorado Avalanche. And for Leaf Nation, it was an exciting game, exciting finish. Colorado Avalanche, a road point, so we'll get their point about what's going on. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Mike Chambers from the Denver Post joining us. And first, hey, thanks very much for making time. This is your first time in Toronto.
It is. Enjoy it very much, thinking about doing the Hall of Fame tomorrow.
Well, it's worth the visit and the Canadian tour. So the Colorado team heads to Ottawa, heads to Montreal. And I obviously, from Leaf fans, thrilled about the outcome. Unusual to outshoot teams 40-26. Usually the Leafs getting outshot. What kind of game did you assess it for Colorado?
Well, the Avs played yesterday in Boston, a very emotional game, obviously, when Briere scored with a half a second left, and that was their first win, and Patrick and a lot of the guys said that they just ran out of gas here in the third, and it obviously it showed. I mean, the Leafs outshot them 15-5, and I just think that the Avs ultimately ran out of gas, and it cost them.
Mike, this team, 52-22-8, I mean, turned a lot of heads, and I think surprise caught everybody by surprise last year, 112 points. And, you know, both Gord and I just love watching Patrick Roy and his energy and enthusiasm on the bench. He's an intense player when he played. He's intense when he coached. You know, obviously you guys lose Stastny to free agency this year. You know, picked up Jerome Iginla, added Brad Stewart and Daniel Briere, you know, some veteran guys probably to supplement some of the youthfulness of this Colorado Avalanche team.
Yeah, there was a lot of supplement there. Mm-hmm. I think they might have overdone it a little bit. The Avs were a very fast young team, and I think right now they're a middle-aged team that is a little bit slower. So Brad Stewart has been minus five right now, and he's struggled. And Tanguay, I believe, still doesn't have a point. He's been struggling. And it just seems like this is not the quick team that they were last year.
You know, you wonder about that when you bring in guys that are too used to being leaders. You look at it simply, again, it didn't happen in Pittsburgh, then it did happen in Boston. That type of thing. That, and it's interesting. I was going to bring up the point. I wondered if sometimes you want the perfect blend, but maybe sometimes you're best just to ride the young horses that you had.
Yeah, this game last year, I think the Avs maybe get 2 points, or it goes to a shootout. But they just didn't have the wheels there in the third. And if I remember, this was not a problem last year. I just think that they their young guys are maybe doing too much, and the older guys, I just think that there's probably too much youth now on this or too much veterans on this team now. I just think, obviously, they got slower.
About that balance.
Yeah.
You know, one guy that, Mike, that's kind of caught our eye tonight, you know, a kid by the name of Dennis Everberg, who had a great chance, scoring chance near the end of the first period, and certainly as a, you know, unrestricted free agent, never been drafted, appears to be, you know, quite the find for the Avalanche. What can you tell us about this kid?
Well, I'm writing about him tomorrow for Thursday, and I talked to him after the game, and it's a pretty good story because this is a guy that we don't know a lot about because we didn't think he was going to make the team. Based on contracts, he didn't have a shot, but then we had some injuries and stuff, and he was on the opening night lineup as a fourth line forward. Now he's on the first line. And he does not look out of place. I mean, he's getting chances. He's a big body. He plays a tough, rugged game. He's an impressive young kid. And as Patrick said after the game to me, when this guy starts burying it, he's going to be a heck of a find.
Well, certainly looked at it. Like you said, he only played about 9 minutes the first couple of games, but we noticed him out there still waiting to get his first. Well, he could have won the game as well. He had a lot of chances that way.
So. You noticed him because he was in the lineup, Gordon. He was in the lineup.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Ozzie, for your update on that. But anyway, the wealth of great young talent that the Colorado Avalanche had, and it adds to that mix as well. When you I'm thinking about, I don't say the glory days, there certainly were. It was a great run. It's hard to retool and not really go to the bottom too long a period of time. I mean, I'm trying to get the difference where the Edmonton Oilers talked about great young talent, changing the culture and all that, and they're still stuck. Why did it happen in Colorado? It was kind of just quiet.
Well, I think the change of coaching staffs helped. I think it was a young team that needed new advice, a new atmosphere in terms of leadership from the coaches, and I think Patrick just stepped into a position that really fit for him. And, he'll be the first one to tell you that he won the Jack Adams last year, but he'll probably do a better job coaching in the future and not have that award. So I think, I just think Patrick molded well with these kids and vice versa, and it's been a good fit. But, obviously after four games now, this is not the team of last year. They got a ways to go.
But, Mike, one of the – and I use this as in terms of a risk. I think the Avalanche, took a chance on Semyon Varlamov. I mean, he played fairly well in Washington. It appeared as though he was not the guy in Washington. They gave up a first-round pick and a second-round pick. And based on last year's season, I mean, he led the NHL in wins with 41. He was a Vezina, trophy, finalist. And appears from all indication had another good game tonight. Looks like they made a right decision when they gave up those draft picks to pick up this guy, and hopefully he is their future.
Yeah, absolutely. And Varley, obviously he was great last year. He's kind of off to a rough start this year, but the fact that he's 0-2-1 basically speaks to the fact that the Avs didn't score a goal in their first two games. But they have a lot of confidence in Varley. I mean, after the year he had last year, they think that there's not a goalie that they would rather have.
Well, take it that as far as other trades and all that. I mean, people are talking about Eric Staal coming to Toronto. I mean, the trade rumors get crazy about things. Colorado's done a lot of stuff. Do you think that they're going to be active as the season goes on? I mean, it's interesting that Joe Sakic was he the general manager or not? Greg Sherman's there. I mean, do you think they're going to stand pat with that, or do you think they'll be active during the course of the season?
Well, it depends on what happens with John Mitchell. He has not played a game this year yet. He's their third line center, or ideally he would be. He's got a head injury, and if you remember, he was knocked out before the playoffs last year. Did not play in that series. So if John Mitchell doesn't come back from his head problems, I suspect that they might do something to get another forward on board. But outside of that, I'm not sure that they'd do anything besides maybe moving Alex Tanguy, if possible.
Now, Ryan O'Reilly scores the first goal for Colorado tonight. Go back, two seasons ago where the offer sheet came out from Calgary. Everybody, I think, was shocked that a guy like that might be even, projected to make that kind of money, or what kind of player he could turn out to be. And yet, 28 goals last year, seems to be fitting the bill very well for Colorado as a guy that they really did peg him as a pretty good player.
Yeah, when he was offered that offer sheet by the Flames, I think a lot of us in Denver were surprised. We didn't know what this kid had. His skating is is his style's not the best, but he's got great hands. He's got great everything, his skating has improved, but he's a phenomenal player because he scores goals and he doesn't take any penalties. I mean, he only took one penalty last year, and it was for playing with a broken stick. I mean, the kid just he produces in a lot of positive ways.
How in the world does that happen, Gord, even by accident?
Well, he's
kind of reminding me of, you know, your men's league.
Be responsible. Sticks are expensive. Sticks are expensive that way. Hey, Mike, really appreciate you dropping by. Hope you get a chance to check out the Hockey Hall of Fame and enjoy a little bit of good Toronto weather rather than the deep, deep winter. And all the best covering the Avalanche and the rest of the year.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks very much. Mike Chambers joining us from the Denver Post. We'll carry on with more Leafs Nation postgame. You can go grab last call somewhere. Get that buzzing sound out of the head. That's the clock that's going up there. So finally it has. Poor Mike, we had the buzzing going in the background. It's a score clock. Was heading back up. He's joining, of course, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne. Leafs Nation postgame continuing a 3-2 overtime victory for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Colorado Avalanche. And, a couple of, you know, it's interesting chatting about the Avalanche point of view. We talked about it extensively with Mike, but talking to Peter McNabb about earlier today, and just Patrick Waugh is the guy that, you know, he walked the walk as a junior general manager and coach. I mean, he went back to Quebec City and got immersed in that team, took him to the Memorial Cup, and he is a guy that worked the media because he had to promote the team. He apparently was very professional. When you went to scout his team, he would invite you down and watch some video of his players, offer his opinions of guys playing for his team and other guys in the Quebec Junior Hockey League. And it's interesting. I'm not so much surprisingly, but among those players and elite players that has become a top flight NHL coach right now.
Yeah, you know what? In some respects, you would think maybe surprising. You know, not that Patrick, during the course of his career displayed, you know, the passion and the commitment and all that kind of stuff. And to go back to junior hockey and, you know, junior hockey, Gord, if, you're familiar with, you know, what it takes to build, you know, a winning tradition, much like the Hunter brothers have done in London, and, you know, certainly a great hockey town in Quebec City, you know, you get some money behind an organization like that, and you get the right people with you, you never know what you can build, and Patrick proved, right away. I was a little bit surprised when they hired Patrick Waugh after Joe Sakic got that job, but yet, obviously, it's a perfect fit. I mean, he was going to grow with these young guys, and if you think about playing against, as when he coached for Quebec, the Ramparts against Nathan MacKinnon, there was that talk about Seth Jones, they need a defenseman, you build with your defense, and I'm sure Patrick Waugh had a lot to do with saying, no, we're taking this guy because I've seen him enough, and lo and behold, Coffey Trophy winner, and Patrick Waugh's got a great feel for young players, and it just shows how well a bunch of these have developed already.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what we'll do, Ozzy. We're going to give you a couple minutes to get ready for the out-of-town scoreboard again so you can get the computer fired up or whatever you use, and we'll get those out-of-town scores out there, and then we'll take a look as well. We'll do this first, though. We'll talk after the game. Leafs bring out two players to face the media, and a veteran and a kid, Joffrey Lupul and Stuart Percy. Here's a few minutes of them after tonight's victory.
Yeah, the building, to be honest, hasn't had a ton of energy, especially positive energy anyway, the first couple games. So we came at them in waves during the third period and had a couple big checks. Leo started with a big one behind the net, and then a couple other guys followed and got some energy into the building, and then we really fed off that.
What kind of effect has winning had for you and Nazem?
He's had a good effect on the whole team. I mean, he's helped. He's playing big minutes on our penalty kill. He's a veteran that knows what to do in the big situation or any situation, really. So he's been forechecking hard and creating some chances for us. He gave me a really good pass in the third period that I missed later in the game. But he's been certainly a welcome addition.
Did you, as a four-game NHL veteran, have you drawn any conclusions yet playing defense in this league?
Not too much. I think I'm just trying to stay strong out there, and I feel pretty comfortable out there with Polak. I think we work well together and just strong positionally and try and keep it out of our zone as much as we can.
Are you feeling like you should start kind of pushing the limits a little bit, or are you still feeling your way out?
I'm still feeling my way out, but I feel pretty comfortable reading the situation. In certain situations, maybe I can jump in the play here or there or do something offensively, but just try to keep it safe and make sure that if I do, then I've got support behind me.
Joffrey, what works collectively when you can limit a team like that to 12 shots over the last two periods and extra time?
Well, I think it starts for us moving the puck and playing in their zone. Our speed's a big asset, so when we start coming at teams in waves, it puts a lot of pressure on them, and that's certainly what we did in the second half of the game, the third period in particular. For us, playing good defense is going to start with playing offensively with the puck. And again, we were putting the pucks into places where we could get them. We were winning races that we weren't winning in the first period. And after that, some of our skill can take over.
Stuart, the experience is probably new for you, but did you get a sense from the city that when the team started 0-2, there was great panic, and now that it's 1-2 games in a row, the panic has abated?
Maybe a bit, but it's still pretty early in the season, and we're glad we had a huge third period there and got the extra point in overtime as well. So back to 500 and look to build on it on the weekend.
Joffrey, what have you seen out of Phil in the last couple of games?
Kind of just the same thing as always. He's a dynamic player. You could not notice him for a stretch of time, and then he gets the puck with speed and has the ability to change the game in a matter of seconds, and not many guys in the league have that, and you certainly saw him as the rest of our team started to pick up some speed and momentum in the third period. You could certainly see him start to separate himself.
Godfrey, what are your thoughts on how Stewart's looked the first four games?
He just looked great. He's sitting right here, so. No, he's played great. Certainly has a lot of poise with the puck, and makes a right play under duress, and that's tough for especially a young defenseman.
It's funny, Joffrey Leupold and Stuart Percy. Obviously, Ozzy, a lot of personality with Leupold, because first when he arrived, he goes, "Do I have to talk in this microphone?" Because the media is about 1 yard away from him, but they said, "Yeah," because part of the reason is so we can get the feed from it. What do you think about Stuart Percy? Well, he's sitting right beside me. What? He's not. It's not quite like Phil Mickelson in the Ryder Cup team. That doesn't happen all that often that you trash somebody sitting right next to you.
I probably would have been a rookie, eh?
You could have. You could have been trashed. Now, we'll give you one more second to look for the out-of-town scores, because also Phil Kessel, who you liked what he had to say Saturday and was key in the turnaround the last two games. Here he is, the game-winning goal in overtime after tonight's game.
Well, the excitement level on the bench was huge and on the ice as well. What did it feel like to bury that one and get that win?
Yeah, it was a good win for us. I thought we played pretty well tonight. We stuck with it and got it done.
Overall, was that the type of complete game that you guys want to play?
Yeah, I thought we played pretty well. I mean, obviously there's, ups and downs in the game, but I thought overall we played a pretty good game, and we had a lot of shots on net, and we got to keep going.
Did you have to fight through some tough checking? I know you looked frustrated on the one play there when they knocked you over.
What one? The one where I got stuck?
Yes.
That one hurt a little bit. But I guess it's part of the game, and you keep going.
Club respond physically to what Leo was able to do on that specific hit just before Joffrey's goal?
Yeah. Leo's a big part of the team. You look what he does. He flares the boys up. Gives us a lot of energy out there, and he played well.
What a difference a week makes. 0-2, 2-2.
Yeah, started 0-2, I guess, and, there's a little panic in Toronto, but, ended up all right.
Phil, when the game's on the line, you want the puck on your stick, don't you?
Yeah, you always got to want the puck, and, fortunate tonight, I was able to go in.
Have you seen any growth in this team, Phil? And I know it's only four games and you don't want to get ahead of yourself, but do you see any areas of improvement so far?
I think you just got to get better each game. Obviously, you got to improve, and I think we're improving as a team, and our game's improving, and we got to keep building.
Do you guys feel comfortable no matter who's in net for you?
Yeah.
Reimer's 1-2 in a row now.
Yeah. We got great goalies here. They're both outstanding in net, and we're confident with both of them in net.
We'll hear from Phil Kessel after tonight's game, the game-winning goal in a 3-2 victory. Leafs Nation postgame, of course, one of the highlights. Mark Osborne's reciting the out-of-town scores. The out-of-town scoreboard brought to you by Bergmanis Pereira, Ontario's most referred personal injury law firm. Visit us at bplawyers.ca. Eight other games going on around the National Hockey League tonight, Mark.
There were eight other games going on. There's only one left that still continues. I think I'll start there in Los Angeles. And the Kings have a 4-0 lead in the second period. 14:38 to play. It's Carter with his third. Justin Williams with his first. Tyler Toffoli has his second. And Dustin Brown scores his first game. Gord, this is the third game for the Edmonton Oilers. They've given up 14 goals already. Victor Fast chased Ben Scrivens in relief. Let's go to the
just five nothing now too. By the way, just came up.
Just five, yeah. 5-0. Sorry, Gord. I'm reading the out of town scores while you're watching game.
Well, maybe that refresh button wouldn't be a bad thing.
Anyways, in New York, the Rangers go down to defeat again, 6-3. Similar score to when the Leafs visited them on Sunday night. The
That's
Islanders
identical.
On top. Identical is right. It was 2-2 after two periods. Rick Nash with his fifth and Derek Brassard with his second, and then Johnny Boychuk and John Tavares with their second, and then the Islanders erupt for four goals in the third period. Kyle Okposo, Brock Nelson with his fourth, Mikhail Grabowski with his second, and Nick Leddy scores his first goal. So how about Johnny Boychuk and Nick Leddy in New York, acquired in the trade and a couple of trades a few weeks ago, and then Rick Nash finishes off the score and gets his sixth for the Rangers. Halak gets the win. Lundqvist again with the loss, 6-3 for the Islanders.
Boy, Brock Nelson, we talked to Butch Goring about that. He's a guy everybody wishes they picked now in their hockey pool.
Yeah,
see the little color I'm adding?
No wonder. He's tied with Victor Hedman for the NHL lead in points with 7.
All right.
In Philadelphia, it's the Anaheim Ducks, winners 4-3 in a shootout. For Anaheim, it was Tim Jackman with his first, Devontae Smith-Pelly with his first, Matt Beleski with his third. For Philadelphia, it was Mark Streit with his first, Wayne Simmonds with his fifth.
Wow.
And Jakub Voracek with his first. William Karlsson gets the shootout winner. Frederick Anderson gets the win for Anaheim. And Steve Mason takes the loss for Philadelphia. Philadelphia is not off to a good start. In Washington, the San Jose Sharks are winners in a shootout, 6-5. Defeat the Washington Capitals for San Jose. Matt Irwin with his first. Matt Irwin with his second. And John Scott in the first period. Must have been a backhand. ends up scoring.
Probably went off him.
3-0 lead after one for San Jose. And then it was Pavelski gets his first in the second period. And Tommy Wingles gets his third for San Jose in the third period. The scores for Washington were Mike Green with his second, Alexander Ovechkin with his third and his fourth. And Troy Brower rounded out the scoring with his first for the Capitals. Joe Pavelski with the shootout winner. Braden Holtby picks up the loss. No, actually, Justin Peters gets the loss. Holtby came in relief. Antti Niemi with the win for San Jose. And so far, so good for the Sharks. I believe they're undefeated. In Columbus, the Dallas Stars visit the Blue Jackets. Come away with a 4-2 victory. Tyler Seguin with a natural hat trick. And let's see, Jamie Benn scores his first of the season. Ryan Johansson had both for the Blue Jackets. Carey Lehtinen gets the win, and Bobrovsky gets the loss. Easy for me to say.
You're doing great. Couple more left.
In Carolina, the Buffalo Sabres for the Connor McDavid sweepstakes win in a shootout for the Sabres. Marcus Foligno gets two goals, his first and second of the season. Torrey Mitchell with his first goal of the season. And for Carolina, Riley Nash with his first. Chris Terry gets his second, and Zach Boychuk gets his first. Gergensen gets the shootout winner. Enroth is the winner in net for Buffalo. Cam Ward takes the loss. Two other final scores to report. The Devils win in Tampa Bay 2-1. Zajac with his first. Mike Camilleri gets the game winner in the third period, his fourth of the season. Killorn replies for Tampa Bay. Schneider with the win. Nabokov, for those of you that did not know, which I did not know that he had signed in Tampa Bay,
there
he
you
takes
go.
The last.
Yeah.
So it's great what you learn.
I know.
When
that's
you,
great.
When you read NHL.com with the scores. And one other final in Nashville. The Calgary Flames defeat the Predators 3-2 in a shootout. For the Flames, T.J. Brody with his second goal. Mark Giordano, his first. For the Predators, Philip Forsberg gets his first goal of the season, as does Mike Ribeiro. And it's Jumbo Joe Colburn in the shootout
awesome
winner.
Awesome job.
Kerry Ramo
this
gets
is
the win, and Pekka Rinne takes the loss.
Great job reading. It reminds me, I think the New York Marathon's coming up pretty soon, so might want to
well,
check out.
Well, there are your scores, Gord.
As
brought
well.
To you by
Bergmanis Pereira. And Ozzie, so the out-of-town scores. We also have to talk. We've only got about a minute left. And Friday, Saturday, home and home against the Detroit Red Wings. So who do you think, as you do those out-of-town scores on the weekend, Reimer back in goal on Friday?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. This has been a great, entertaining night. And,
well, it was to the last 5 minutes.
It was. I don't know. The out-of-town scoreboard has gotten the best of me. But yet, as earlier, Gord, I feel that Arthur Reimer should get the start. And I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay. I can't wait. That'll be one of the keys to the game we look forward to. 3-2. Overtime win, the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Colorado Avalanche. The building was rocking tonight. We were somewhat rocking here as well. Been a great night here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. For all Leaf fans, exciting game. You've been listening to Leafs Nation post-game.